Barack Obama could go to jail over what Tulsi Gabbard just found. We just got over 104 formerly classified pages of evidence showing that Barack Obama spied on Donald Trump and his campaign before he took office. And before I break down what Tulsi Gabbard found in her investigation on Obama, I want to show this video to you of Tulsi Gabbard. She's on Fox News. She is basically saying that she fully intends to prosecute Obama for what we are about to talk about. Take a look.
So the effect of what President Obama and his senior national security team did was subvert the will of the American people, undermining our democratic republic, and enacting what would be essentially a years-long coup against President Trump, who was duly elected by the American people.
Yeah, and I want to get to that right now, because I've heard talk of a criminal referral. Are you referring this in a criminal matter?
We are referring all of the documents that we have uncovered to the Department of Justice and the FBI for a criminal referral.
Yeah. And do you believe that we will see prosecutions? I mean, our audience wants to know where this story goes from here. Will we ever see anyone held accountable for this incredible lie on the American people?
I will do all that I can, and we have whistleblowers, actually, Maria, coming forward now after we release these documents, because there are people who were around, who were working within the intelligence community at this time, who were so disgusted by what happened. We're starting to see some of them come out of the woodwork here, because they, too, like you and I and the American people, want to see justice delivered. So we're going to provide everything that we have, everything that we will continue to gather to the Department of Justice for that direct intent and that direct purpose. There must be indictments. Those responsible, no matter how powerful they are and were at that time, no matter who was involved in creating this treasonous conspiracy against the American people, they all must be held accountable.
So according to Tulsi Gabbard, the FBI and the DOJ are going to indict Obama. Now, here's what he actually did. And in order to tell you this story, I got to go all the way back to November of 2016. Trump had just prevailed over Hillary Clinton. We were all very happy about this. The United States was rejoicing, and the United States enemies were crying. Now, Obama gets some intel from his staff that Russia may have been interfering with the election. Now, this is very common. This isn't anything new. We know that they do this from time to time. They're not the only country. There's a lot of countries that obviously have a stake in the American election, so they try to interfere. And what we have evidence for, and again, they've been doing this for many, many elections, is that Russia will send in bots, for example, to sow misinformation online. They'll do it to turn up the political heat, to kind of sow political unrest. They fund propaganda on places like Facebook or any social media site. All that's true. We've known that before Obama, and him investigating that is totally fine, honestly. It happens all the time. They've done that forever. But what Obama wanted to know was not that. What Obama wanted to know was whether or not, again, this is according to him, whether or not they had hacked into actual voting machines and changed the voting numbers. That's what he was investigating. And here's the deal. Even on that point, I think that's a fair thing to investigate. Obviously, election integrity is incredibly important. I would want to know if a foreign government was tapping into our voting machines. So investigating, that's fine. I got no problem with that. The problem is this. What we see now from the unclassified pages that just came out from Tulsi Gabbard, they were classified. Now they're unclassified. You can find them online. I've read through them. It's 104 pages, so you know you can't read all of them. But and some of it's redacted. But for the most part, you can read all of it. And what she put out is that Obama repeatedly, over and over again, was given reports from his officials and his staff saying that Russia had not been able to hack into the machines. They looked into it, and several people, like the vast majority, said they're not capable of doing it, at least not right now. That's what they said. And we have a lot of evidence that Obama knew that fully, and he understood what was happening there. So that should have been the end of it. He should, you know, he did the investigation. He found there was no election interference. Cool. However, instead of putting an end to it, as we all know, Obama decided to start a special investigation into Trump of him colluding with Russians. And that's where the whole Russiagate thing came out. And people are saying that Trump was elected because of Putin. Obviously, that wasn't true. And that report is known as the Steele dossier. Everyone's heard of it. Obama did this. This is the big bombshell. Obama did this with the full knowledge already that Trump had not colluded with Russians as per his own reports that he was getting from his own staff. And anyway, even through all of that, he allowed James Comey, who was the FBI director, to spy on Trump. And that's what's truly astounding. And again, Trump was not president yet. This was in the intermediate time between Trump winning the presidency and actually taking office on January 20th. We just know now that he used the FBI, Obama, to spy on Trump for something that we know that Obama knows wasn't legit. The whole thing was just a sham in order to make Trump look bad. And then on, I think it was January 10th, they published it. They leaked it to the media. They said there was a leak, but they intentionally gave it to the media, the Steele dossier, in order to, and again, the Steele dossier didn't have anything but speculations in it, but they give it to the media in hopes that that would ruin Trump's credibility. And of course, the whole time throughout it, we know that the Steele dossier is going on, and we know that, you know, people are theorizing that Putin helped Trump win, even though none of that was true. And again, the whole intent was just simply to undermine Trump's presidency before he even got in, for him to get there and to have no one to work with and have no support from the American people. So I think Tulsi Gabbard absolutely should prosecute Obama, and I think she should prosecute his senior staff. However, I do have one contingency with that, and this is something that I think Tulsi Gabbard is really making a mistake on. And since she's part of Trump's campaign, I think Trump is making a mistake on this, or excuse me, part of his staff. I think Trump's making a problem with this. And it's that they need to be very careful when they are promising these things to the American people. The Trump admin in his first and second term is kind of famous for over-promising in terms of investigations and prosecuting corrupt people and then not delivering later on. That's true of Hillary Clinton. You know, lock her up. That was a huge part of his campaign in his first term. It's been true of the deep state as well. He's talked about that. And then, of course, the Epstein files, which are going on right now. They've overpromised hugely. And I've talked about this in past episodes. They need to curb people's expectations on this big time. Because, again, you got to tell them what you want to do, but don't promise people that Obama's going to jail. And that's kind of what they've been saying. Tulsi Gabbard is kind of going out there saying, we're indicting him, he's going under. The reality is, if we're all being really honest with ourselves, and it sucks, but Obama is probably not going to prison. He could. Again, if he goes, it's a happy surprise and it's a massive win for the Trump administration, no doubt. However, if he doesn't go, it is another brutal, corrupt failure that turns into a conspiracy and people undermine Trump's presidency. And that just cannot happen again. If you're trying to scale your business right now, listen up. Sales and marketing specialists are both essential for growing your business, but it can be incredibly expensive to get them, and the quality of talent sometimes is lacking a bit. And that is why I partnered with Leverage Assistant. Leverage Assistant connects American businesses like yours with marketing specialists, sales assistants, accountants, you name it, working in the exact same time zones as your business for a fraction of the cost. The average company right now with Leverage Assistant is saving over $20,000 a year in labor costs. They're not a recruiter. They're not a marketplace. Leverage Assistant is a high-touch resourcing solution where they vet every assistant through 12 hours of interviews, skill tests, reference checks, and behavioral assessments to ensure that they're the right operational fit for your business. And right now, everybody, they are giving 1 month free to my viewers so that you can experience for yourself the high quality talent and how they can grow your business. So to get that 1 month free and to see what they are all about, head to the link in the description below. Donald Trump has actually just made history as he is officially the most popular president of the century during this time of his second term. So if you look at him, Bush, and Obama, since those are the three people who have had two terms in the century, Trump is actually on top in terms of approval rating if you look at July, you know, 6 months into his second term. What you see, this is from Real Clear Politics, Trump is actually at 45.8% approval, Bush was at 45.5%, and Obama was at 45.4%. So it's very close, but Trump is on top technically, and that is a win. Now, this is not super statistically relevant. I mean, this, you know, they're very close, they're all within 0.4%. Trump is technically on top, and I think that's important to note. However, it's obviously not by a lot. And this is where I think Republicans need to have a good look in the mirror and not delude themselves too much, because we'll all remember in 2006, Bush was not considered to be super popular. In 2014, Obama was really not popular. Those are things that the conservatives themselves said. And now look, if you don't agree with the polls, fair enough. But if you're someone that looks at the polls and cares about the polls, you have to look at yourself in the mirror and think, you know, Trump's not in the most fantastic approval rating spot right now. And I think, again, where you don't want to delude yourselves is when you get into the uncomfortable truths of how the midterms work. These polls are incredibly telling for the midterms. and not in the best way for Republicans. Since Trump's approval rating is almost the exact same in Bush's and Obama's, like we talked about, I decided to actually look into the midterms for their second terms. And for Bush, what we see is Democrats actually took 31 more seats in 2006 and took the House. For Obama, and we know this, right? We know the incumbents don't do well in the midterms. But just looking specifically at these cases, since they're so similar to Trump, Democrats took 31 from Bush. And for Obama, Republicans got a net gain of 13 seats and took the House as well. So if history teaches us anything, it is not teaching us that Republicans are going to keep the House. However, it also doesn't teach us that Republicans are doomed. There are things that they can do to still win. And I think what that means is that they have to work their butts off. And that's partly why I'm talking about this. The Republicans can't sit around and just say, well, you know, we got this in the bag. Democrats are dumb. They believe in gender theory and they're radical and they have no plan. They don't like America. Unfortunately, history would tell us that's not enough. And I think it's going to be an uphill battle for Republicans, but I think they can still make it if they work hard. As to the recent polling on the midterms, this is the conflicting data that we have. And it's very interesting. What you see, this is from Atlas Intel. This is the most accurate pollster for the 2024 election. Democrats have a massive generic congressional ballot lead, like a massive one, like 9% up on Republicans. Democrats are at 51.3%. Republicans are only at 42.7%. However, the same kind of time, another poll came out showing that Republicans have a 4% edge. In this is from Napolitan News. Republicans are at 49% and Democrats are only at 45%. So you're actually seeing the polls are kind of all over the place. And I think it's because people don't really know. I don't even know if Americans, like the people who are not super politically minded, I don't even think Americans know what they want or what's going on right now. There's so much news. I mean, there's been a fantastic amount of news over the last 6 months. I think a lot of Americans don't really know who they're going to vote for next year. And I think that means Republicans can make up a lot of ground if they want to. We do actually have one very interesting point of data that came out from the Atlas Intel poll that I want to show you guys. What you see right here is that 71% of 2024 non-voters plan to vote for Democrats in 2026. And you see that poll and you think, that's bad. That's bad. That means, again, there are people who did not vote in 2024 and 71% of them now want to go to Democrats. And you would think that's bad for Republicans, but I actually don't think it is. And the reason why is because what we're seeing is that people who don't usually vote are supporting Democrats. Chances are if they didn't vote in 2024, they definitely didn't vote in 2022. I mean, people who don't vote in the presidential elections definitely are not going to be voting in midterms. And they probably didn't even vote in 2020 either. And again, this makes sense since young people do support Democrats and they're a massive, you know, voting block for Democrats. And they also don't vote as often. I think that this group of people could be skewing the polls in a big way. In other words, I think people who say they support Democrats might not actually show up to vote. And so what we see from that same Atlas Intel poll where Democrats have a 9% edge is that's a whole lot of people who didn't even vote 6 months ago, or I guess 8-9 months ago at this point. And so what makes us think that they're going to vote this time around? They're probably not. They're going to be lazy and they're going to stay home. So again, if I was a Republican strategist, I would say turnout is everything. And Team Trump needs to get people jazzed up to vote in 2026. I don't know how he's going to do that, but he's got to do it. Turnout is always a huge factor, but I think it could be an even bigger factor this next election than it was in 2024. I would also say that the Republicans need to go full steam ahead in terms of redistricting, which we talked about last week in the show. The red states can get a lot more favorable districts going in 2026. I think if Republicans do those two things against all odds, if you look at it historically, I think they have a shot at winning the midterms. I am excited to announce that the Josh Carr Show will now be a part of We The Free. Guys, We The Free is a conservative streaming platform that allows shows like mine to actually say what we want without big tech coming in and censoring us. It happens a lot more than you think. They've got fantastic shows over there ranging from politics like mine to a ton of Second Amendment stuff. So if you're really into, you know, the Second Amendment, firearms, stuff like that, ranging from if you're just kind of a newbie like me with all of it, or you know, a seasoned veteran, you're going to enjoy all of the stuff. They have literally probably thousands of hours of fantastic Second Amendment content. Go check it out right now. If you head to the link in the description below, you'll be able to support conservative media as we take back American culture and fight the legacy media. Go check it out. Thank you so much for watching the show, everybody. Please like the video so other great patriots like yourselves will see it. And you can tune in every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for the live show, or you can watch another video right here.